Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
You are now tuned in to the Two Cents and Nonsense podcast. I'm here with my homeboy, Matt.
What up, what up?
I am Antoine Wyslicker. Follow us on Twitter at 2Nonsense. That's the number 2, N-O-N-C-E-N-T-S. Yes. Also, get into that Facebook community. Search 2Cents Nonsense in your Facebook search bar. Get in the group. Post up. We'd love to have you. We've been memeing the fuck out of that shit over the past couple days.
Antoine been on it because he been quarantined. It's the most he done ever. What's the word? Posted.
Posted.
In like 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. I've been out here doing it, man. It's just got a little time with your hands. I'm seeing memes that I like.
I didn't comment on it or like it, but 200 grand for Aries.
200 grand for Aries? Oh, okay.
Because I know you said yours was a bag of booger sugar.
It wasn't even a bag. That shit said a pinch of booger sugar.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. For those who don't know what we're talking about, if you was in the group, I posted up something that said your sex is worth this much. And mine, because I was born in August and I'm a Leo, it said that mine was worth a pinch of booger sugar. Pinch of cocaine. Hannah, her joint was $4 for $4. She was like, okay. I was like, shit, you giving away 4 fucks for $4, dog? Like, god damn. This shit is crazy. But yeah, man, we've been having fun
I definitely seen Hannah up in there participating. I like that shit. Thank you, Hannah.
Nate's in there participating. Shout out to Nate, man. He answered a lot of shit.
Yeah, you know I see Nate saying? Up in there.
You know,
that's my boy I played football with in high school.
Yeah, man, he pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? He did put the Kevin Hart as a top three.
I see that.
But, you know, recency bias, sometimes it happens with shit fresh on your mind and you laughing. You know, that shit got it.
But, you know, he's younger than me. Maybe about the same age as you. Maybe.
Yeah.
So he probably ain't seen the 80s stuff.
Oh, nah, man. Comedy is one of those things, man. I love music. I love music and I love movies, but comedy was one of the first things that drew me to entertainment.
I ain't gonna front. I'm older than you, but I ain't never seen no Richard Pryor stand up.
Yeah,
so I can't put him on that list.
I understand.
Just because I never seen it.
Just because you never seen
it. I'm not saying he bad or nothing.
Yeah.
I seen his movies, some of them,
but
I ain't never seen no stand up.
But yeah, I mean, that's just what it is. Like, you know, if you ain't seen him, you can't have an opinion on it. And I respect that. I don't take that as one of those things where, oh, you need to go watch this. Like, if you, you know, if you watch it, you watch it. But if not, you're not really, I'm not going to say you're not missing out because I think he's phenomenal. But you got so many other people out there that you looking at and that you can focus your attention on. Like, you know, it's just like with hip hop, man. If you don't listen to a certain artist or you never heard of a certain artist, yeah, I might poke a joke at you about it, but...
Yeah, like we did on that post.
But I can't sit up here and be like, oh, you need to go... Like, it's too much to be listening to. Mm-hmm. Especially trying to go back 15, 20 years.
For real.
First, you got to dig it up. You got to find it. If somebody still got it in the archives somewhere, you got to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to listen to it. And it ain't the same. It ain't going to be the same. I understand people be like, oh, you need to go back and listen to the historics, listen to the historic greats. It ain't the same listening to them because it was a different time frame at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, some of the music is still timeless. It still works. But it's like, nah, we don't listen to beats like this no more. Or motherfuckers don't say that slang no more. So I might not understand it a little bit. Like, I might be lost.
I don't understand new slang.
But that's what it is.
Like when they started calling girls thoughts, I had to Google that shit to find out what Google a fucking thought was.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what it is, man. It's like that sometimes, man.
I was like, oh, they just calling girls hoes. What a new name.
Yeah.
You still a hoe.
But the slang and all that, man, the terminology changes frequently. And it changes by region. So depending on where you lived or where the person that you're trying to listen to is from, you might not understand what the fuck them niggas talking about. Like when Juvenile and them was out there talking about something, whoa, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck is a whoa?
For real.
You know? But it is what it is, man. Some fake news has been circulating across the internet. Colin Kaepernick being signed to the New York Jets. Yeah. We could not verify this in no way, shape, form, or fashion.
And first off, I knew it was fake as soon as I read it, because I know goddamn well Adam Gase ain't signing no talented black man that he can't control.
Right, right.
He gets rid of y'all.
He does.
He's not going to sign you. Not to mention, he already got a quarterback that he apparently likes.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was just, it was one of those things where the local news station down there did run the story. But they ran it from off of a fake sports, Twitter.
It was a fake Sports Center. Yep.
So, it was a fake Sports Center Twitter account. It was a parody account.
Sports Center has no affiliation with it.
Yeah. So, they issued that statement real quick to say, look, that wasn't us. We didn't do that. Don't know who the fuck that person is over there, but they said that, not us.
For real.
So, it is fake news at this point.
It's going to be fake news forever because Colin Kaepernick ain't playing in the NFL ever again. His career is over. Yeah. If y'all don't believe it, get over it. All right? We done talked about this numerous times.
Yeah. So, any other news, man, in sports? Any other news?
My Bulls hired a executive vice president.
I hired a guy from the Denver Nuggets.
I mean, me personally, I'm not too happy about it,
mm-hmm.
but let's see what the guy can do. Yeah, only thing I don't like about the hire is that they did not interview not one minority.
Right, right.
Not even an interview.
Yeah.
You know?
That was kind of fucked up. I mean, me personally, I didn't know that until you said something about it. The way I looked at the hire was his track record with the Denver Nuggets. I felt like he's done a good job. He did a good job with the Denver Nuggets. He can only bring that same type of caliber to you guys.
They can't make it out the second round.
Well,
I know it's the West.
Yeah.
But they still can't make it out
the second
round.
Yeah, they can't make it out the second round because the West is tough. But, I mean, if he's able – and in Denver, they can't really get those free agents like that. I mean, he did a good job of –
Drafting, scouting,
putting together a team that works. They made good trades, you know. So I feel like if he brings that caliber of expertise to you guys' team, you'll be better off. But your main focus and your main concern is a coach. You need a good coach first.
You can draft and have whoever you want in place, but if they ain't being coached good,
right,
you ain't going to win.
And that's what you guys need is a good coach.
We have all the talent in the world right now our squad. But because we have a shitty coach, look what we got. You got a sub-500 team.
Yep. So that we'll be looking forward to see what happens with that.
Yes, and interview minorities. I'm not saying you got to give them the job.
Right.
I want the best person to have the job.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have the best person if you're not interviewing minorities.
Yeah. You know, not only that, man. Bring in some women, too. Like, they know basketball.
Yeah. Maybe bring in somebody who's actually played the game.
Yeah. You know, they know basketball, man. So you got all of these candidates that you could choose from. Don't limit it to just, you know, white people. Like, you're just interviewing white people. You stagnating yourself, man, because it's plenty of people out here. And to be honest, man, when you are a minority, you got to work harder.
Yes, you do.
To get to that spot. So that person that was a minority that you interviewed, this motherfucker probably held every job in the fucking organization. He probably was taking out the trash and shit.
My Miami Dolphins and their head coach.
Yeah.
He did every job there was to do in New Wiggly.
You know what I'm saying? So, just get them guys a shot, man. Interview them. Interview the ladies, man. They be sitting on benches, you know, listening to head coaches. They've been around the block, too.
Nobody heard about Mike Tomlin till he got hired by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He got an interview, and he sold them on the interview.
Right.
And he's been doing – he won a Super Bowl. He's been winning ever since. He took that garbage-ass squad that they had this year to an 800 squad, all right?
Yeah.
Come on.
They did good, man. They did good. Also, in other news as well, Dana White has come out and stated that the April 18th date for the UFC has been postponed. Executives from Disney, ESPN, because ESPN is owned by Disney.
Yes.
Came down to him and said, you can't have this event. Sorry.
Yeah, because they're the ones who air your shit. Yeah. They're the ones who put your pay-per-views out there. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you trying to steal land from Indians from like 200 years ago. What the fuck are you doing, nigga?
He was trying to get him a private island, bro. He was going to make it happen, dog. But the thing about it is, it's not even one of those things where it's like, If you had your own control over your stuff, it'd have been easier. But with you got UFC gyms all across the country.
Not to mention, you can't get sports sanctioned nowhere. They're about to shut WWE down. They're about to shut AEW down.
They're trying.
They're going to.
What they are.
That's why I know WWE, they're recording in bulk.
Yeah, they're recording in bulk, but they're also behind the scenes, they're trying to contest it, saying that, you know, wrestling is not a sport.
It's scripted entertainment. To Vince McMahon, because he calls it sports entertainment.
Yeah, he calls it, they under the guise of that scripted entertainment. So it's as if they are putting on a television show like everybody else.
But in your sports entertainment, you can still bleed. You're still touching people.
Right.
You know?
So, he's trying to fight it. I don't know if Tony Khan is trying to fight it or not, but the difference between those two guys versus with Dana White, we're talking Dana White not having a private facility like those two guys have. They have private facilities that they've been doing this in. The Performance Center, a la the Jacksonville Jaguars home or whatever building they're shooting.
I think they're shooting in Atlanta right now.
They're shooting in Atlanta right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Atlanta, I think, is on lockdown.
They are on lockdown, yep.
Or about to be.
So
Orlando is on lockdown or about to be.
Yeah.
That's why they're shooting in bulk.
Shooting in bulk. So one thing that was being said on social media and on different platforms that cover the sport of wrestling or the entertainment of wrestling, they're saying, yo, man, just shut it down. Like, the shows are skeleton shows. You only use a certain people. Your big stars aren't really there, you know.
I'm going to say this as a wrestling fan. If you don't have to shut it down, don't shut it down. Right. Because what I am watching, it is entertaining to me as a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's no fans out there. I understand it. I get it. But I like the in-ring wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's still good. I like the storytelling. It's still good.
Yes.
You know?
You know, but those people that cover the sport, they're wrestling fans as well. And they just stay, you know, dude from what culture, they're, you know, if they know new wrestling going on, them brothers ain't doing shit. They basically out of work.
That's people's jobs too. Yeah.
So,
and ain't no workers' comp for that.
Right. But them motherfuckers are still saying, like, yo, if you don't have to, don't put on the show, because we don't want it to hurt the in-ring product. We don't want it to hurt your product overall.
To me, it's not hurting the product.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
That's my personal opinion.
I don't think so either. I think it's still legitimate. The WrestleMania show that we are about to review in a little bit here. Well, you'll understand why we say we still enjoy the product, even though there's no crowd there. So,
yeah. For anybody who hates on WWE, feel free to hate on them. But their production is second to none. Can't nobody touch it.
Yeah.
And they proved that last weekend. Can't nobody touch their production when it comes to wrestling.
Sure can't. Now, before we get into the WrestleMania review, of course, there's been reports that because Jordan Devlin, who is a UK star, he's not able to come over to the U.S. to defend his Cruiserweight Championship, that they are going to hold a tournament for an interim champion in his absence. What do you think about that, man?
It's fair.
It's fair?
Because he can't defend it over here,
right,
which affects other contenders over here.
Right.
So, you know, it's like I said, it's fair.
Yeah. But that interim championship shit, man.
As long as it ain't like Dana White giving out interim championships to everybody.
Left and right. Just here. You have an interim championship. You have an interim championship. You know, so.
Yeah, WWE, normally, they don't do that. Their hand is forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's completely different.
Do you think they're going to do the same thing with the NXT Tag Team Championships because Pete Dunne is not in the country as well?
I think they're working it out.
Yeah.
But if they can't,
mm-hmm,
then they will.
Okay.
But I don't think they will for the simple fact that NXT alone doesn't have enough fucking tag teams, so it really don't matter.
Right.
The only people they're holding back are what's the British dudes?
What British dudes? Oh, the grizzled young veterans.
Yes, the grizzled young veterans, because they're the ones that are gonna go take that belt.
Yeah. Them guys are good. Now, before we get into the, like I said, we're going to get into this review, but I do got a couple of stories here first, man.
Okay.
For people not taking this COVID shit seriously, man. Mm-hmm. So, there's a Texas woman who claimed that the COVID-19 virus was a media-driven hoax. The ultimate happened to her. She contracted the virus, and she died. Because she thought it was a hoax. She didn't take the proper procedures. She was carefree about it. It's not something that I'm taking lightly here, but
not to cut you off.
Sit up here.
My mother said your son is so handsome.
Thank you, ma. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, but that's not something that we taking lightly. And don't sit here and think that this is a hoax. This is real shit. You know, one of our technicians that work at my job, his father passed from the virus last week. So this shit hits home. It's right here. I know people personally that are going through the shit. So be safe with it.
Yeah, man. This shit ain't no joke. Y'all keep thinking shit is a game till you get it.
And when you get it, you ain't laughing. But I do know of a survivor down in Virginia. I had the virus. My mom knows him. He is fully healed. He's healthy now. He's good. But it was a rough 3 weeks for him. It was rough. We didn't even know he had it until, you know, he popped back up. Because he was in the hospital the entire time. Until he popped back up, like, yo, I'm good now. I know people been worried about me. So.
I have two personal friends that I know that have it.
Mm-hmm.
One is still in the hospital recovering.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a New York City cop.
Yeah.
And they're currently recovering.
Yeah.
You know? Shit ain't no game.
So
just because you think you can't have it, that don't... You might have it and not even know it.
Right.
You know? So stop the bullshit, man. Quarantine yourself.
Yeah, so be safe. Now, there was a man in the UK. This guy was caught speeding, doing 110 down the highway. He was going 40 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Ain't nobody probably on the highway.
Well, he was pulled over because cops was patrolling because they were supposed to be on lockdown, so motherfuckers weren't supposed to be out. Now.
And where was this?
This was over in England, over in the UK. Yeah.
Oh, they don't play that shit over there.
Over in the UK. Now, this guy was driving, and he was driving 5 hours away from where the fuck he lived. Now, why the fuck was he driving 5 hours away going 110 miles an hour down the freeway? is anybody's guess, but he had two kids in the car with him. So the cop asks him, yo, why the fuck is you driving 110 miles an hour going wherever the fuck you going? And this motherfucker said, because the price of bread is cheaper where the fuck I'm going than where I came from.
Fair enough. I ain't mad at you.
He drove 5 hours away though for some bread, nigga.
Yo, we don't know what it cost over there. I ain't mad at him. We don't know what it cost. They don't have the laws we have over here. Their inflation rate might be some serious shit.
For some bread, yo, though.
They might be going paying from $2 a loaf of bread to $100 a loaf of bread. We don't know.
For some bread, though, we don't know.
And for those who wanted some peanut butter and jelly, he was like, nah, fuck all this bullshit.
Yeah, just to preface to the sound that you hear in the background is the air, nigga. We ain't trying to be hot up in this motherfucker. So, but yeah, man, 110 miles an hour with two kids in the car. Because you try to go get some bread.
Yeah, he called the store in advance, like, oh, you got some, put that on hold. I'm on the way.
5 hours away, like, yo, I'm going to make it. Yo, that's a trip right there. That is a road trip.
So, let's get into this, man.
Let's get into this WrestleMania review, man. We're going to go with night one. Did you see any of the pre-show matches?
No.
You did not. So, I'm just going to run through that pre-show match real quick. Cesaro defeated Drew Gulak in a singles match. It was a 4.5-minute match. Who cares? I ain't see the shit either. But, whatever. So, night one opens with the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus the Kabuki Warriors in Asuka and Kairi Sane. What did you think of that match, man?
I think Nikki Cross was the MVP of that match because she did all the work.
She put in work on that thing. I texted you when that match came on, and I was like, yo, this is amazing hearing these bitches yell at each other.
Oh,
like,
I loved it.
Asuka is amazing.
And you want to know what, too? All the women matches were like that. They were all talking shit. The men, they weren't really saying nothing.
But these women, they was talking shit to each other. And every time Asuka slapped the bitch, chopped the bitch, or anything, she was, I don't know what the fuck she be saying.
Nobody.
But whatever she's saying,
unless you speak Japanese,
she say it with conviction. It was great. But Nikki Cross was the MVP. She did not get the pin. Alexa Bliss came off the top with her Twisted Bliss moonsault.
When she did nothing all match long. But that's Vince McMahon.
That's Vince McMahon's girl right there. Of course she was going to get the win. Who did she pin? She pinned Asuka or Kyrie?
Kyrie. I forgot. Asuka ain't taking
that
pin.
Yeah, she pinned Kyrie Sane. And so the new women's tag team champions, two times.
Great. That Alexa won't Bliss be defended anytime soon because there are no women's tag teams. You got the Iconics who don't even see TV. They ain't been on TV in like a year.
Well, they probably back in Australia right now chilling. Like, they ain't getting into the country.
They might not even be over there. They might be stuck over here.
They might be.
Because they ain't being used. Somebody might say, I'm like, oh, we're going to use you. You can't go nowhere.
Yeah.
And
they ain't using them.
Yep. Unless they pull the Dana Brooke card, like, I ain't going.
I like them, too. I like them.
Their voices annoy me, but I guess that's the point.
Yeah. That is absolutely the point.
You know, that's the point.
Then up next, we had King Corbin versus Elias.
I went to sleep on this match. I woke up to see Elias get the roll up, because that's what Baron Corbin does. He gets rolled up.
Yeah, he's been beaten by roll up like 80,000 times.
That's his kryptonite. You want to beat Baron Corbin, you roll that nigga up.
Roll him up. The most devastating move in all of wrestling is the surprise roll up, and Baron Corbin is the worst at kicking out of those.
You ain't even got to put a finisher on him. Just roll him up.
Roll him up. That match was boring, and it went 9 minutes long. It was boring.
Gosh, that's long.
It was a boring 9 minute match. Boring. After that, because I don't even care. I don't even care about that match. But after that, we had Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler for the Raw Women's Championship.
I really hated this match.
The match sucked. It did. I ain't like it. It was a typical Shayna Baszler match. It was a typical joint where, you know, she's working.
I don't even blame it on just Shayna.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's a typical Shayna Baszler match where she's working the body part, the arm. She's working the arm, but her fucking finishing move is a chokeout. Like, I don't understand why she works the arm when her finishing move is a chokeout. Like, where is the ring psychology? Who is the agent behind the scenes telling them, like, yo, we need to change this approach?
She must not have took Shawn Michaels' class.
She must didn't take Shawn Michaels' class, because the ring psychology that she brings to the table is fucked up. But she get beat by the same shit. She puts somebody in the Karafuta clutch. They roll it up, and she gets pinned for the 1, 2, 3. How many times did this shit happen to her?
Every time she loses.
Like,
literally, every time
she loses. Are we supposed to believe that she is that dumb? Like, you get beat by the same thing every time.
I have faith in Paul Heyman. He'll change that.
I hope so.
I have faith in Paul Heyman. He'll change
that. I hope so. Because I can't sit here and continue to believe. You make her this dominant, but you make her seem so dumb because she gets beat the same way every single time.
Paul Heyman to change that unless Vince has anything to do with
it. Yeah, I'm going to need that to be changed. I'm surprised Trips kept doing this with her.
Well, Trips didn't have her lose.
Right.
So, you know, last time she lost was over a year ago, so.
Yeah. So, that was kind of a boring match. Up next was the worst match. To me, in my opinion, was the worst match of the evening, and I'm so sorry to say that it was Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan for the Intercontinental Championship.
Because Sami Zayn ran like a bitch.
He ran a bit like a bitch the whole match. That match, it was a bunch of lulls. It was a bunch of lulls. Every time you turn around, Sami Zayn was getting out of the ring, creating distance, and I'm like, dog, when are they gonna lock up? When are they gonna do something? And it never happened. And it was 9 minutes of that bullshit.
Yeah.
But Sami Zayn did retain the title. By some miracle. I don't even remember how he retained the title.
With the Huluva kick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Daniel Bryan was coming off the top rope, right?
Some bullshit. Nobody cares. Nobody remembers. I just know it was a Huluva kick.
Yep.
A bullshit kick.
Bullshit kick. Yeah. Up next was contender for best match of the night. It was the three-way ladder match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It was John Morrison, Jimmy Uso.
Was great till the ending.
It was great until the ending. It was a great match, man. All three of those dudes worked. They took bumps that they're known for taking.
Mm-hmm.
When John Morrison was standing on the back of the fucking, he was standing on the turnbuckle thing, the back of it, and he did that fucking spinny moonsault shit. What do you call that? What does he call it?
Finishing move.
Yeah, what does he call that thing?
Starship Pain.
Starship Pain. I don't know what I couldn't remember what he called it.
It's WWE. It's Starship Pain.
It's Starship Pain.
Whatever he calls it everywhere else, that's everywhere else.
But that's WWE, the thing. He called Starship it like eight Pain. Different things because he's been in eight different organizations. So sorry if I drew a blank on that one. But when he hit that shit was so pretty how he hit that shit on that ladder. I was like, oh,
it is. It really is pretty. That was the prettiest move 15 years ago when he first pulled it off.
Yeah.
Because nobody was doing anything like that.
Nobody still does it. it was a great move. The finish saw Kofi Kingston and Jimmy Uso both vying for the belt and for the belts, excuse me. And John Morrison somehow came down with them after falling from the ladder.
Which is bullshit.
And that's how he retained the SmackDown Tag Team Championships for his team. As The Miz was out sick, that's why this wasn't a triple threat tag team match. But it was a great match. It was a show stealer. It would have been match of the night had it not been for that finish, I think. I think that finish hurt him.
I don't know, man. That with that match Boneyard match.
Yeah, we're getting to it. We're getting to it.
Like, I know what to expect from that shit.
Yeah.
But, shit.
And up next, another good match. I felt like this match was pretty good, too, even with the restarts. Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. These two was talking. They was talking mad shit to each other, though. They was talking shit to each other.
They should. That storyline has been going on for months.
Yeah. So, they had... It was a singles match at first. Seth Rollins got himself intentionally disqualified by smacking Kevin Owens in the face with a ring bell.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens then goats him back into a match by calling him a bitch. If you was playing a drinking game about how many times you heard bitch on this broadcast, you probably would have been drunk. Unless you were mad, because he probably would have just been like, yeah, this is it. This is it.
I don't need an excuse to take a sip. So there you go.
There you go. But the match restarted as a no disqualification match. They was going at it again. But of course, you get hit with that stunner, it's over. And Seth Rollins got hit with that stunner.
Well, he also took the elbow off the top of the Titantron.
He did take the elbow off the Titantron.
Through the announce table.
Through the announce table. You know, which was, it was a great move. That was a great move. That was probably, what, high-risk move of the night?
Nope, it wasn't high-risk because did you see the mat that was
the mat was underneath this shit?
Yeah. Sorry to spoil that for y'all. People who don't watch wrestling, there was definitely a thick-ass mat.
Yeah, it's cool, though. But yeah, man, he took
safety
that.
Safety first.
Safety first, he took that. Seth Rollins, that was actually only his second loss at WrestleMania.
I believe that.
He's 5-2 now at WrestleMania.
It's Triple H's boy.
You know, which is
not good. Vince's boy, that's Triple H's boy.
That's Triple H's boy, yep. And that was not one of the questions that's going to be on our... WrestleMania quiz coming.
I don't even know the questions on there. I hope I can answer them shit.
I think you can. It's going to be all right, bro. Then up next, man, wasn't the main event of the evening. It was the match before the main event, because we're going to get to the main event pretty soon here. We had Braun Strowman versus Goldberg for the Universal Championship.
2.5 minutes, was it?
2 minutes.
Two minutes, 10 seconds. 2 minutes, 2 seconds?
Yep. So Goldberg came out, hit him with a spear, hit him with a spear, hit him with a spear, hit him with another spear. And then Braun was like, fuck this, hit him with a power slam, hit him with a power slam, hit him with a power slam, and then hit him with a running power slam, and then pinned him 1, 2, 3, and the match was over.
Sounds about a typical Goldberg match.
And that's how Braun Strowman won the Universal Championship. And Goldberg won the championship back at the Saudi Arabia event because he has creative control in his contract.
Yes, he does.
And he pulled rank to say he was not going to lose to the Fiend Bray Wyatt because it would have been bad for his character or his image to lose to a bad guy that was considered evil. Which is complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah, because younger people that watched you grow up, they don't watch you now. They don't even know who the fuck you are. Nobody knows who the fuck Goldberg is.
No kids. No kids look up to you and know who the fuck you are right now. Like, there's kids in the audience right now with a Fiend Halloween mask on that was looking at you like, why the fuck did you beat the Fiend?
Yeah, and everybody knows he shouldn't have.
But...
And no. Creative knows he should have. Yeah. Since your bitch ass pulled a Hogan and pulled creative control.
Right. But Bray Wyatt, being the consummate professional that he is, he drew favor in the locker room by just letting it happen. Just, all right, man, whatever.
What else are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. He's not creative control.
Yeah. I think Bray has some creative control right now, too.
No, he probably has creative control over, like, his character and what he does, but over wins and losses, he probably doesn't.
He probably doesn't, but he didn't fight it, and he drew favor in the locker room.
At the end of the day, he also knows Goldberg's a part-timer. He's not going to be there.
Right. So they got the belt off of him because he did not want to wait until fucking SummerSlam
or whenever. Because his contract is up at WrestleMania. There were no more dates scheduled for him. He did not want to schedule any more dates.
Right. So he got his money, took his ball, and went home. That's what he did.
See, if I was WWE, I'd fuck him over and be like, you're going to drop the belt to Bray. Because this is your last date. Yeah. You ain't got nothing else to say about it.
Yeah.
I know what Bray Wyatt did with John Cena was magic.
Yeah.
But I'd fuck Goldberg over. Like, you didn't want to drop. You didn't want to lose to him then. You're going to lose to him now.
Even losing to Braun, I think they could have did that in a way where it humiliated him. Not let him get no offense. Them four spears was... I mean, yeah, Braun shrugged them joints off like they want nothing. But don't even let him get them four spears in. If you don't want to play ball, don't let them get them four spears in. Just fuck your four spears.
WWE's, they're not entirely like that.
Yeah, I know.
They'll let you get your shit in.
I know,
man. They'll let you get your shit in before they fuck you over.
You know. And then, of course, ending it, the main event, the match of the night. The Boneyard match between AJ Styles and The Undertaker. Oh, man. That match was great.
Yo, I ain't even gonna front. This might be the best thing I've seen in wrestling in the last 10 years.
This is a great match. This is a great match.
Just off the production. Forget about the match itself, but what they did with nothing out there, really. You know what I'm saying? You're in a parking lot with some shit around you. Right. With some dirt.
But they did make it look like it was an actual graveyard.
They tried to do something.
Yeah. And, you know, they had the house, the little, like, built little warehouse joint out there. It was a pretty good match, man. I liked it. You know, Undertaker rolled in with his American Badass gimmick. But it wasn't, like, full-on American Badass gimmick. He had the little music with it, but he still had his...
He had some new music.
He did. He had some new music.
New music.
You know? AJ Styles, who's not really known as one of these guys who be out there just brawling, he's usually known for the things that he does.
I'm not even gonna lie. I'm surprised AJ went along with half the shit that went on because he's, like, in real life, full-blood Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for him to... Yeah. Come out of the casket the way he did and shit like that. I'm like, wow, AJ.
But the one thing about AJ is he is a consummate professional and he's an excellent performer.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
when he gets into that heel persona, though, he done some shit with his heel persona.
I'm just going, I understand that, but this is faith right here. You coming out the casket and shit, like.
I didn't expect that.
I wasn't expecting that.
That was
either.
Unexpected to me. He came out. I was like, yo,
he threw the dirt on the Undertaker, dust to dust and all that shit. Like, whoa.
I was like, yo, AJ is...
He got paid. I think he got paid.
Yeah, he got paid a lot. He probably at church right now. Like,
for real.
Sorry, Lord. he probably at church right now. Like, yo. Ain't nobody in the church. It's just him and that motherfucker. But he in that real, like, yo, I'm sorry.
I know AJ did some shit he definitely didn't believe in. Yeah. But more power to him.
But if you ever get a chance, if you have the WWE Network, hell, go search the shit on YouTube. I implore you, watch this match. It's cinematic. It's great. He says it's probably one of the best things he's seen in the last 10 years. I'm going to put it second best because... The shit that we're going to talk about.
I said one of the best. I didn't say
the
best.
Oh, I thought you said the best. I'm sorry.
No, I said one of the best.
I didn't mean to put words in your mouth, bro. But yeah, this was...
Because I ain't even going to lie. I don't know what's better.
Yeah? You don't know what's better?
I don't know what's better.
Hey, man. I got to give it to the Bray Wyatt joint. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Going on, man. Night two. Oh, The Undertaker won that match, by the way. Sorry. We forgot to say who won that match. It was so good. It really didn't matter who won or lost that match. I did see the pre-show match of night two.
I did too.
It was Liv Morgan beating Natalya in a singles match that went 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
You know, it was a match. Liv got the W. Good for her. And but then, it shouldn't have happened. If Liv was going to fight anybody, she should have fought Ruby Riott.
Yeah, they gave her the win here. And then she ate a a loss to Asuka on Monday Night Raw. Like, what was the purpose of giving her the win if she was just going to lose the she very next night?
She should have been on the show, period.
You know, so. But the main card opened with Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley.
I want to say one thing about this match. This might have been the best wrestling match of the entire weekend.
It was. It was. I can't even hold you on that one. It was 20 minutes of pure wrestling magic. It was great.
Yeah.
This was a great match. I didn't think that Charlotte should have won this match.
We talk a lot of shit about Charlotte and her botching wrestling moves.
She didn't botch a move in this
and
one.
And all that shit.
This was flawless.
She put on a show.
Her and Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley needed to go get some tea after this shit. Because her vocal cords, boy. She was screaming in agony. She was screaming every time she got her leg wrenched.
Not to mention, they were both talking so much shit, and I loved it. You heard every minute of it, every second of it.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, it was great that they choreographed this whole entire match, and you could hear them talking shit to each other, but you ain't hear her calling out no moves.
Nope. All you heard was shit talking.
All you heard was shit talking, and they hit everything. It was all on point. 20 minutes of pure
truthfully,
goat.
I think the ref was calling the moves. Every time he whispered in their ear.
He might have been.
Because you didn't hear none of his whispers.
Yeah, you
he
might have
The
might
ref might have been calling the match.
And it was great. Now, Charlotte won this match because in the perceived eyes of Vince McMahon and the WWE creative, she was a babyface. And they wanted feel-good show. So they wanted to have all the babyfaces go over. And somehow Charlotte was a babyface, even though she was
that's
working.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's not what I heard. I heard Rhea Ripley has visa issues.
Oh, that too.
And she's stuck in Australia, and they don't know if she can come back to the U.S. anytime soon, because she's over there right now.
Right.
So they had to
Her visa did expire. Her work visa did expire, so she did have to drop the belt.
Sorry to spoil that for y'all.
She did have to drop the belt, but they also did perceive Charlotte as a fucking babyface, which is ridiculous.
Charlotte was no goddamn babyface. We all know that.
Which is ridiculous. Then we had...
Vince said that he's an idiot.
Yeah. Then we had a match where... Nobody knows why the fuck they had this match. Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley with Lana at ringside.
Well, nobody watched Raw going up to them shit, so we don't know if there was storyline.
There was no storyline for this shit. They didn't even have a hype package for this shit. Like, they had hype packages for every other match.
That's when you know there's no storyline.
They
had
no hype package for this shit. So, you know, it was just there. It was one of those cool down matches after you had this great match. Bobby Lashley, listening to Lana, went to go for a spear. It got kicked in the fucking face. Like, he got black mask. And the black mask is the most protected move in wrestling right now.
And there was a little eye contact between Lana and Lashley after that.
Yeah, a little eye contact.
So hopefully they break up soon.
Oh, on Raw.
I didn't see Raw.
I know you didn't see Raw.
But you can talk about it.
But he had a little interview where he told Charlie Caruso it might be time to find a new wife. Like, what? The loss made you reevaluate the fact that you might need to find a new wife? You just go...
Yeah, imagine what Rusev has been dealing with for all these years. You start to see it now, nigga. Blaming Rusev and shit. Listening to her whole ass.
That is a nice little storyline today.
Why do you think Rusev ain't been on TV in months? He going to AEW as soon as his contract
He going to AEW as soon as his contract up.
For real.
Then up next, man, we had the feel-good moment of the night. We had Otis versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler had Sonya Deville in his corner.
This match was hurt by not having a crowd.
Yeah. It was hurt by not having a crowd. Mandy Rose came down near the end, kicked Dolph Ziggler in the go dance.
No, first she beat up Sonya Deville.
She did beat up Sonya Deville. We all know that ain't supposed to happen, but she beat up Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville. Stop laughing at Mandy, man. Stop laughing at Mandy. It's storyline.
It's storyline. We know she can't be fucking Sonya Deville for
shit,
real.
We don't know who the fuck Sonya Deville can be. Because she ain't beat nobody since she been in the WWE.
She hasn't. She sure hasn't. But yeah, man. After.
That's like Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke. They're legit fighters, and we don't know they can beat anybody.
Nigga, I know they can't beat nobody. They was losing when they was in the UFC. What the fuck you talking about?
So was Shayna Baszler, but...
Hell yeah. They all was losing. But after she, you know, beat up Sonya Deville and kicked Dolph Ziggler in the gonads, Otis hit his nice little caterpillar move, which is nothing but the worm, you know?
Which is stupid. That's your finisher move, dude.
But dog, come on, dude. That dude... Move. Hey, he like 400 pounds coming down on you with that elbow, though. That's heavy.
It's not the people's elbow. It's not Shawn Michaels coming off the top with the elbow. It's
that Macho Man Randy Savage. Yo, Randy Savage had the best elbow off the turnbuckle, though.
I don't want to hear nothing about Otis's fat ass.
Okay.
Do a belly flop. It'll make me feel like, you know what I'm saying?
But at the end... After it was all said and done, he had his hand raised, him and Mandy. Mandy jumps in his arms and gives him a big kiss. That would have popped the crowd so hard.
It would have.
That would have popped the crowd.
And she
so
looked
hard.
Like she didn't want to do it if you were really looking at it.
Damn, dog. You're an asshole, man. Why you always got to ruin stuff for the market?
Because her man is really muscular in real life and she's kissing his fat slob.
She is dating that guy from, what's that dude's name?
I forgot his name, but I know he's big and muscular.
Jim.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. He's a nobody in the business, though, but whatever.
You ain't got to be somebody. That's Sasha Banks. Her man sold fucking clothes.
How the fuck he get that dog? How did he get that dog? You ever seen that guy?
Yeah, he Asian.
He's straight plain Jane, dog. Like,
she's from Boston. What you expect? She ain't black.
Get the fuck out of here.
She's from trying Boston.
Trying to be out there in L.A. doing the albums with Snoop. Bitch, get the fuck out of here, please. Snoop gangbang.
Yo, my girl can't stand her because she wear them color, got that colored hair. She's like, why the fuck you like this bitch?
I love you, Sasha Banks. I really do, but...
As a wrestler, yeah. My girl be like, why the fuck you like that bitch with the colored hair?
For real. Come on.
She was like, that bitch got blue hair.
It was pink or purple first.
Then we had, after this feel-good moment, we had the last man standing match between Edge and Randy Orton.
No lie, yo. I like the match, but goddamn, it took way too long.
Do you know how long this match was?
Over 40 minutes.
It wasn't over 40 minutes. It was the actual match time was 36 minutes and 35 seconds. With the promo packages and the entrance, you're looking at 41 minutes. Some change. Yo, I literally said, now, this match had so much going on. The one thing that people were upset about was the fact that Randy Orton choked Edge with the weight cable. Because that's supposedly how, that is how Chris Benoit killed himself. They thought it was tasteless. They shouldn't have did it that way. But it is what it is. But I was literally... Towards the end of the match, after Edge had choked him out, right? And mm-hmm. He's laying down on the ground mm-hmm. on one chair. I literally said...
Oh, this was on top of a truck.
Yes, on top of a truck.
Yes.
I literally said this out loud. There's nobody else in this motherfucker. But I literally said this out loud. Could you hurry up and hit this nigga with the chair so we can get this over with?
Like, yeah, we all knew it was going to happen.
Like... I really
the only way
this.
The match was ending was with a concerto.
It was a good match, but it was just so long. This match did not need to be 40 minutes.
First off, why was the gate, a cage, hanging from the ceiling in the conference room?
I don't know.
Where we just seen Ciampa and Gargano in there the week before battling it out.
I don't know. I don't know, it's man.
It was the exact same conference room.
It was, man. I don't know. Like that match was just it was just too long. It wasn't like it wasn't a good match, but it was one of one of those ones that went on too long. Like Triple H and Batista went on for too long. It went on for too long.
Yeah, that's how you know it was. Triple H probably booked that match.
He booked that match.
Yeah, man.
Edge wanted to get him some shine. Edge wanted some time. It's been so long since he had been wrestling.
Edge probably didn't even want that much time. He was probably winded. You know that nigga was winded. Climbing up ladders and shit. Like, he ain't got no business on no ladder. Come on. Your career ended on ladders, man. It did, hell out man. Of here.
Then we had the Street Profits versus Angel Garza and Austin Theory. It was just a match. It was 6 minutes. It was just a match.
It shouldn't have been 6 minutes.
You know, at the end of the match, after the Street Profits had won, Bianca Belair came out with the save. She hit Zelina Vega with the KOD.
That's how you know she's moving up to Raw. She's done with NXT.
Yo. Motherfuckers got to look at their wives or their girlfriends like Montez Ford look at Bianca. He looked at that. He's like, yo, I'm good. He looked at her like he was ready to fuck her right then and there, dog. Like,
maybe he was.
Like, bro, the look on his face, that's love. That's that new love.
She was patting him on the head and shit. Like, you gonna get this in your face later.
You gonna get this in your face. Yo, people gotta look at you. If you don't know, it should be a meme out there somewhere. It should be a steel image of him looking at her. And if it ain't, I'm going to make one and find it and put it up. I'm going to put it out there.
I'm sure it ain't one hard to find.
Yeah. Steel image of him looking at her. But the look that he gave her on Raw was even worse. How he was looking at that ass. He was up that joint.
Yeah, because he a nasty nigga. He about to put his face in there as soon as the show's on.
I was like, yo, come on, bro. Like, we know that shit, girl, but god damn, dog. Yeah.
That's why they don't put niggas in storylines like that. In real storylines.
They don't put them in the storylines like that.
Nah.
Then up next, man, we had the Fatal 5-Way Elimination Match. It was Lacey Evans, Bayley, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Tamina for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
This match was good until Sasha Banks got eliminated.
I agree. I was mad as hell when she got eliminated.
I was too. I wanted to see her and Bayley go one on one.
Yeah.
Now, whoever won out of if Bayley won out of that, I wouldn't even care, but I wanted to see it.
Yeah. And then Sasha came back to help Bayley.
For real.
She hit Bayley Lacey Evans.
After Bayley let her get pinned.
Yep. She hit Lacey Evans with the backstabber. Which allowed Bayley to hit her new finisher or whatever you call it. I don't even know what the hell
nobody
they call
cares
it.
About Bayley. We just want to see her lose the title.
Yeah, but Bayley did have the ladder tonight where she talked to the commentators like, you thought I was gonna lose, did you? Like, why you talking to the commentators? Fuck you, Michael Cole. Like, yo.
There ain't nobody else to talk to.
Yeah, she straight up said, fuck you, Michael Cole. Like,
I think by that point, Gronk won the 24-7 title by that point, right?
He did win the 24-7 title by that point. He was out.
Yes, Gronk, Rob Gronkowski is the WWE 24-7, 9-11. 7-11, 9-11. You can throw that in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
European. TV.
TV.
And whatever else.
Champion of the world. So, yeah. He took R-Truth's belt. You know, but it is what it is. He'll lose it pretty soon. They'll show that, I guess. I don't know. Nah, I don't think he lost it on Raw. I ain't see him losing on Raw, so.
He got that Brock Lesnar contract. He losing
he
that
got
belt.
That Brock Lesnar contract.
He losing that no time soon. And if he does lose it, it'll be on social media.
Then up next, man, we had, to me, the best thing that happened the entire weekend. John Cena versus The Fiend Bray Wyatt in a Firefly Funhouse match. John Cena comes down to the ring. He's about to say welcome to WrestleMania. He is interrupted. Bray Wyatt comes on the screen, says some shit to him, and tells him, "Welcome to the Firefly Funhouse." We then see John Cena get teleported into the Firefly Funhouse, and Ramblin' Rabbit tell that nigga he gotta go through the door. When he goes through the door, the hilarity, the genius, all of that ensues. We get to the point where John Cena is reliving his very first match, where he went to challenge Kurt Angle. And of course, the infamous slogan of ruthless aggression was stated, and he went to go slap Bray Wyatt, and that nigga ducked. That shit was funny.
You can look, but you can't touch. Yes. That shit popped me so hard.
That shit was so great. Yo.
Yo.
And shout out to John Cena for actually still having those shorts.
He's got all of them.
Yeah, for still having the shorts.
He said he's got hundreds of them. Yeah. And he still has every last pair of boots, shorts, knee pads, all that.
Yeah, so shout out for him for coming prepared with that. But the, you know, Bray Wyatt hit the line, "You can look, but you can't touch." He called that, he said that John Cena was reliving his greatest failure. Now, John Cena has come out and stated that he did hate the line ruthless aggression. He hated it. He hated that it ushered in a whole new era. He's known as the person who ushered in the ruthless aggression era, and he didn't like it. So that was, you know, art imitating life, where he said that that was his biggest failure. Then we switched to, the Muscle Man. Bray was in the Muscle Man joint, and John Cena was pumping iron so hard that his arms stopped working. I was laughing at that as well. That shit was funny to me.
Yo, this whole thing was just... It was magic.
It was funny. Magic. Then we had the Thug Life. The word life, John Cena. The Doctor of Thugonomics. He came out, he kicked some rhymes. Bray Wyatt got a little serious with his promo afterwards. Then we switched to something that didn't happen for real, but what they did was use symbolism of Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Because when Hulk Hogan went to the NWO, he turned heel after being a lifelong babyface. They were stating that, what if John Cena did the same? Could he have revitalized his career if he turned heel? Then we got present day John Cena getting done in by the Fiend and disappearing into thin air, as John Cena's own promo played, where he said that this match will erase the most overhyped, overprivileged WWE superstar of all time. And it was him who was gone. Poetic, man. That shit was great.
It was great.
That shit was great.
It really was.
I loved every minute of that. I thought that was...
I tweeted out on my personal account, Bray Wyatt is genius.
He is genius.
And you want to know what? Shout out to John Cena for doing all that. Because John Cena did all the work, realistically.
Well, from my understanding, John Cena also has some parts to play in it as well. So... him and Bray Wyatt collaborated on
the project. Yeah, but even if, like, John Cena's the one doing all the outfits.
Yeah.
Doing most of the acting and all mm-hmm. that shit, like.
And that was good. It was great. It was great. That was probably the best. That, to me, was the best thing of WrestleMania. To me. That was the best thing. After that, the Boneyard match was great. And then, to me, was the Charlotte Rhea Ripley match was great. Then we had... because we needed a cool-off period. So we had the WWE Championship match.
What do you mean the cool-off? That's the last match.
Yeah, that's it still was a cool-off period for me. Because I already knew Drew was going to win this match. So
everybody knew Drew was winning that.
It was the main event. Well.
Actually, no. You can't even say Drew's definitively. It's Brock.
It's Brock.
You never know what Brock.
Yeah. So it was the main event of the evening. It was Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar. This was a 4.5 minute match. Brock hit him with a couple suplexes, hit him with a couple F5s. Drew kicked out. He was like, fuck this, I'm not losing.
Drew kicked out of an F5 on one.
Yeah.
On one.
On one. Not even. Roman ain't even kick out on one. Like, Roman didn't even kick out on one. But Drew McIntyre, man, he hit a couple claymores on him and got the win. He's the new WWE champion. And he defended his title right after.
Against the Big Show.
Against the Big Show.
Because Big Show has a show on Netflix.
Yeah. I was going to check that out. I ain't checking
it out. I'm going to check it out.
I'm going to check it out. I think Big Show's
good. I got to watch Ozark first.
Yeah. But Drew McIntyre versus the Big Show was a 7-minute match afterwards. I have no idea why the fuck they went 7 minutes, but, you know, it's whatever. But
because Big Show can go longer than 4 minutes.
This is true. This is true. I guess Big Show was heel. Which, if we're keeping count, that is Big Show turn number 453.
His weight. That's so, probably not his weight.
That's probably not his weight. But there you have it, man. That was the WrestleMania review. Now, being that that was WrestleMania 36, I wanted to do a quiz to see if Matt could answer some questions about WrestleMania. You've watched almost all of them. You should know this stuff. It's easy stuff, right?
No, it's not easy. You know how many matches there are? How many, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we'll see how you do, man. It's 13 questions.
All right.
Quick 13 questions. We'll see how you do.
Let's do it.
So being that this year WrestleMania had a 0 as the attendance number, outside of the split venues of WrestleMania 2, what was the lowest attended WrestleMania?
What type of question is that? Like, I'm supposed to know that shit. What's the smallest stadium they was in? Shit. Can you give me that?
I'll give you the city that they were in. They were in L.A.
I'm supposed to give you a WrestleMania number?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know, man.
Just guess one.
3.
No. It was WrestleMania 7.
Whatever.
They had an attendance record of 16,000 fans in attendance. That was the lowest number.
It's less than the Garden. Of any. Goddamn shame.
Yeah, of any. They were in the LA Memorial Sports Arena. Now,
question. I don't know why people hold sporting events in LA. Don't nobody go to
them shits. Nobody goes to them shits. Now, oh, they're going to be back in, well, they're going to be in Inglewood next year if, you know, everything goes well.
Yeah, ain't nobody going to that shit. Yeah.
WrestleMania X7. So WrestleMania 17 is widely considered the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Okay.
This event, Eddie Guerrero defeated Test in a match procuring his second reign with which title belt?
U.S. belt?
No.
Intercontinental?
No. It was the European Championship.
A belt? No, they don't even hold no more. Come on, man. Stop giving me this bullshit. You can...
Okay.
Fuck out of here.
Question number 3.
He said Test. Like, Test was in contention for a goddamn belt.
He actually had the belt. It was the European belt. Tess had the belt. And Eddie Guerrero.
But for 2 weeks?
I don't know how long it was that he had it. But he had it. Not counting Hulk Hogan. Who has the most WrestleMania main events? Meaning, last match on the card.
John Cena.
No.
What?
It's not John Cena.
Undertaker.
No.
Then I don't know.
Triple H.
I was going to say Triple H next. Triple that H. Golden Shuffle.
Yeah. Triple H has 7 WrestleMania main events. John Cena has 5.
Yo, John Cena, what are you doing?
Stone Cold had 3 and The Rock had 4.
Well, they weren't in WWE as long either.
Yeah. But Yeah, John Cena only had 5 WrestleManias. Because you also got to look at one of the WrestleMania main events was Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Because they went on last. Question number 4. At which...
I ain't got none right yet.
At which WrestleMania did Bret Hart defeat Yokozuna to become the WWF champion?
He did that shit at no WrestleMania.
He did do it at WrestleMania.
You sure?
Yes, he did.
Well, it wasn't 9 because Hogan used his golden shuffle.
Right.
I assume it wasn't 10.
Why would you assume it wasn't 10?
Because 10...
Hold on. 10, he fought... He had 2 matches. It was 10.
It was 10. He did have... yeah, he had the match at the beginning of the night.
With Owen.
Yep. He had the match at the beginning of the night. It was Owen. And then he ended the night beating Yokozuna for the...
I know my Bret Hart shit, nigga.
He knows his Bret Hart shit. So I was like,
hold on.
Question number 5. Although WrestleMania 8 was marketed as a double main event, the WWF Championship match between Randy Savage and Ric Flair was not the true main event. Where did they actually land on the card?
I don't know where they landed on the... It was like 3rd or something.
It was 6th on the card, and they had 4 matches after them, which is ridiculous. Question number 6. Which WrestleMania marked the first WrestleMania under the WWE banner? So, you know, they had the campaign for the Get the F Out.
02?
02 would be...
I don't know the number. I'm just giving you a year. Trying to do the math.
Hold on. 02. Hold on. I'm going to have to look that one up for him real quick. Because the answer is WrestleMania 19, but I don't know if that was 02. Hold on.
It's damn near close.
I'm going to look for you. Hold on. You know, unfortunately, I don't know if that was 02 or not. I'm going to give you. It was actually 03. WrestleMania 19 was in 03, but you were right. 02 was the last time that they actually used that. So
I'll take that. That's 2.
All right. WrestleMania 19 was actually main evented by Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle for the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. But the real show-stealing match was a 22-minute single match contested by who?
Do you know what year that was?
Yeah, 2002.
2002? 2002. Rockin' Stone Cold?
No. They were on that card, but no.
Because I knew they were on the card. Yeah. I was like...
It was somebody else on the card before them.
What was it?
WrestleMania 19.
No, who was the match?
The main event match was Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle. That was the match where Brock Lesnar did the shooting star and almost broke his neck.
I don't know. If it's not The Rock and Stone Cold, I don't know.
Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels.
That ain't better than The Rock Stone
Cold. That match was better than this. Man, stop playing.
No. As far as skill-wise, yeah. But headliner-wise, nah.
I think you're thinking about the other match that they had. The main event match that The Rock and Stone Cold had.
Was that... Which one?
The one at the next pay-per-view. The one that was at WrestleMania 20.
The one...
XX.
The Rock retired Stone Cold at?
Yeah. That was a great match. The match that they had.
The only match The Rock won against Stone Cold at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Because Stone Cold said, like, fuck you. I'm not wrestling no more. You can add this. I don't care.
Now, we all know that nowadays, WrestleMania is only held in stadiums. Which WrestleMania marked the last time WWE booked an arena for the big event?
Whatever the one the Garden was in.
That would be incorrect.
That's bullshit.
It was WrestleMania 22. They booked it at the Allstate Arena in Illinois.
That's bullshit.
Fuck out of here. WrestleMania 22. At WrestleMania 24, The Undertaker's pyro malfunction, injuring 46 people in attendance. This was the main event where he defeated Edge to secure which championship?
The World Heavyweight Championship.
Good job, buddy.
I knew that. You got that one. I watched that match a couple times.
After beating Edge for the World Heavyweight Championship, where did The Undertaker's streak sit?
17-0?
Nah.
18?
It was 16.
I knew I was close. I knew I was right there.
At WrestleMania XX, it's WrestleMania 20, featuring Chris Benoit winning the World Heavyweight Championship and Eddie Guerrero winning the WWE Championship.
Yes, they did.
Which one of those two was in the main event?
Chris Benoit. I remember that. Chris Benoit. That's Triple H and
Shawn Michaels. Yeah. Yep.
Triple H ain't giving up no main event.
Yep. That was one of...
And to me, that's one of the greatest WrestleMania matches I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That triple threat between those three.
That was a great match. Not counting this year's WrestleMania or matches from any pre-show, which WrestleMania boasts the most matches on a main card?
I don't know what number we're on.
Well, we're on
36.
Yeah.
On a main card?
On the main card.
33.
No. WrestleMania 4, until this day, still has the most. Because it was
a two-card show.
It was a tournament that happened for the vacated WWE Championship.
Nobody cares about that.
They had 16 matches on the card. They had 16 matches on the main card.
Fuck you, WWE. Nobody cares about that bullshit. Fuck you, Vince. It's all your fault.
And the final question. WrestleMania 12 had the least amount of matches on the main card due to this match, which was the longest match in WrestleMania history. What was that match?
What year, if you can give me, was WrestleMania 12?
WrestleMania 12...
96,
yes. Longest match in WrestleMania history.
Iron Man match. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
That's right. Good job.
Bret Hart, I know that shit.
That's good shit, man. That was my last one. Because
Bret Hart is my all-time favorite wrestler.
That was good shit, man. I sat and I thought of these questions myself the other day. I'm like, what? Can I get him questions that he might know to get some good shit out here? But that was good, man. That was good. You got about 5 of them joints, right?
Yeah, I was thinking 4, but I'll take 5.
Yeah, you got about 5 of them, right? Oh, you got 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you got 5 of them, right?
Yep. I'll take that.
Yeah, that was good shit, man.
Because you asked me some shit that don't nobody fucking know. Don't nobody know. Word up.
Hey, man, I tried, bro. But... you got anything else for the people before we get out of here, man?
No, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We're going to hit you with some more.
We're going to hit you with some
more. Like it. Share it. More than anything, share it.
Yeah, man. For people that are wrestling fans, if you like the content that we gave you on this show, we do this often as far as with sports, wrestling, and things like that. So share that shit in your sports groups, your wrestling groups. Whoever has that fandom, share the shit. Next time, we're going to actually do best drama movies, right?
Best drama movies,
best drama movies. We got a bracket that we're going to get out for you guys. So stay tuned for that, man. As always, we appreciate you guys listening. I've been Antoine Y. Slicker. That's been Matt.
Yep.
And we out.
We out.